Well, I am Jan Gordon, and this is Gentle Reminders, A Mother's Encouragement. So I see there's many going to have a baby, so you're in the right spot. I'm a mother of 11 children. This is Kelly, she's my seventh. My youngest is 11, and there we go. My oldest is 32, and the blonde ones are ours. And well, except we have one married one in, the blonde one that looks like us, so. And Lee's also. But the dark-haired ones are the in-laws. We have four grandchildren, two in California. They're, let's see, one-year-old and just a few months old. And then in Gainesville, we have two grandchildren, two and four. So that's been a new season for me to be a grandmother and a parent at the same time. It's not as easy as for me. It'd be easier to just be grandparent or just be, but it's been good. So this seminar is focused on just things that I tuck away and I want to just pass on to the next generation. My original thought was for my kids. I recently wrote a 31 days of devotions, and I put them on a bit.ly that you guys can look up, and I, let's see, I'll try and write it up here. If you have paper and pen, I can give it to you, but has anybody used, if you've used bit.ly before, it's just bit.ly/FW for Faith Walkers, FW Mothers. So B-I-T period, L-Y slash F-W-M-O-T-H-E-R-S. And on that page is some of the resources that I've used, because I don't have a handout this year. And some of the books that I drew from, but then there's one that's just called 31 Days of Parents' Devotions by Jan Gordon. And it's in a simple booklet, and it gives you the website there for that. But I wrote those for my kids to know kind of my husband and my mindset in raising children, and just some encouragements. I'll share just a couple excerpts from it. And then on that bit.ly is also some prayer sheets that I'll talk about a little bit, but just I think if we want to be really effective, I think it's good to write things down. And if you know there's things you want to pray through, I just pray through them regularly, and I have them on that website as well. So Psalm 71 verses 17 and 18 says, "O God, you've taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come." And that's my goal, is just that I would declare God's strength to this generation, that he gives strength to the mother of little children, and his power to each of you. So now, if you know Matt and I, you know, neither of us is very charismatic, very normal, maybe even rather boring people. But the incredible thing is that God can help people like us raise fully functioning Christians that add to the Christian community and beyond in more amazing ways than we as parents have added. And that's the exciting thing that we can be believing God for. Raising children is a faith issue. The real question is, do we have faith in ourselves or faith in God to accomplish the task? I think we all go in on the parenting journey just very excited that God's going to do this amazing work, and that's going to be tested. And we start relying on our own know-how, our own wisdom, and we start kind of tottering because we're realizing like we can't do it very well. All of our inadequacies and our flesh arises, and we think, what was I thinking having all these children and they're affected by me? But I just want to refresh you with gentle reminders in your journey as a mother to fight of good faith on the home front, and not lose sight of God's hand in our lives. I just pray that you have a zeal you had at the beginning to remain consistent to the end because of who's going to accomplish it. So I'm going to pray. Father, I just want to thank you for your hand today on us. Each family here, Lord, is a vital part of your kingdom. You care for each family, Lord, in a way that is intimate and detailed, and you know just how you're going to use them and in whose lives you're going to use them and how they're going to bless your kingdom. And I pray that your spirit would speak through me today in Jesus' name. Amen. So a verse that I have claimed through the years is in Luke 1:45. It just says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." I think as a mom, I've enjoyed being the center of the day. I've enjoyed managing what the day held. Not that it was easy, but it was. But there was funness to it. And then there was the school and the chores, just keeping them rolling. The challenge brought a lot of joy and satisfaction. I'd say my role now, I only have 3 left on the home front. My 2 girls graduated and left this summer. Sad day. it was a sad day. But it is exciting to think that's what I was raising them for, just to head out and be a part of things that are bigger than, God has big plans for them. We're just preparing our children to go. I think we get a little self-centered as parents because we do have all these children looking toward us, and we can start thinking life is all about me. And it's not. You know, I remember dreaming with my firstborn, you know, it's like, I want to know everything you're thinking, everything you say, I want to know all your friends, what all you're going to do all your life, you know, you can tell me all about it. Well, he was actually pretty good about it. He would tell me a lot of things and talk to me a lot all through his schooling. But then it was like, life was not about me. He got married. No, you know, they get married, and all of a sudden you're not number one. So, but that's a good thing. But I just want to remind you that God will gently lead you. I had this tucked in my head a lot, just that God was not leaning over my shoulder, just ready to, you know, get me for something. He's very gentle with us. Just like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. And I was so thankful for that verse, just to know that God's expectations of me are is I want to help you and I want to carry you through this. So he's very gentle with us. As a result, I was able to show myself more grace. He understood me. He knew my capabilities, my inadequacies. I think as mothers, you know, we're just much harder on ourselves than God is, or much harder on ourselves than our husbands are. I think we can lay in bed and evaluate through the night and just, you know, it's okay to evaluate and say, okay, I can do this differently tomorrow, but not to beat yourself up. I think Hebrews 12:10 is a good reminder. It just says, "For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them." I think parents, we try our best, and we do to seek the Lord to help us, but, you know, we live with our flesh and who we are, so thankfully, God's going to gently lead us. So we must be convinced that it isn't about me. God works in earthen vessels. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of power will be of God and not from ourselves." So an earthen vessel is frail, vulnerable, inadequate, is formed from dust. The Lord doesn't expect us to perform as though we were anything other than clay pots. He just wants us to be a vessel for what it's been created for. It's created to be a container for its intended contents. So we are the vessel created for intended contents. And it says, God's plan is to put extraordinary heavenly treasure into ordinary earthen vessels so that the attention will go to the contents, not the container. And that's just so good to remember that it isn't about us. It's about what God is putting in us and doing through us, so that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So it's not about me. Everything does not revolve around me, but we're a vessel created for God's purposes. Your role and how you carry it out will impact your future of your child. And so as moms, we must have faith to be all that we're intended. Be all that God has saved you for. Mother is the morale of the family. The mother is, I looked up morale to see what it was, the confidence, the enthusiasm, and the discipline of the family. The confidence, the enthusiasm, and the discipline. A mother does, the atmosphere the mother brings to the table is so important. I go through stages of feeling like, oh, I'm not that important, I'm not that significant. But if you take me out of the picture, you can see there's a lot missing. There's no food. There's not the hello when people walk in, or the, you know, there's just a lot that we bring. You are a representative to your kids of a rule of law that is higher than our own personal preference. I'll read that again. You are a representative to your kids of a rule of law that is higher than our own personal preference. We're living for our higher calling. And they're watching our responses and living with us as we're struggling to choose to do what's right. We're responding to a heavenly citizenship, and they're watching us. They see us come to them and ask forgiveness, or they see us believing God for things that, you know, you could just dismiss as it's done, but we could be believing more for. Susanna Wesley, in 1732 she lived. That was a long time ago. Her son John was they talked about him last night, but the father of Methodism. And she had 10 children. And he wrote to his mother and said, can you just give me a precise account of how you raised us? I just want to know how you did that. And she says, no one, without renouncing the world, in the most literal sense, observed my method. So she was making choices not to live for this world. She says, if anybody wants to follow what I'm doing, you got to really put that, you know, separate yourself from this world. She goes, there are few, if any, that would entirely devote above 20 years of the prime of life in hopes to save the souls of their children. Doesn't that just motivate you? I want to be the one. She says, so there's few, if any, that would entirely devote above 20 years of the prime of life in hopes to save the souls of their children, which they think may be saved without so much ado. These other people are thinking, well, I think it'll just happen. For that was my principal intention, however unskillfully and unsuccessfully managed. What a high calling we have. Deborah Pearl, she wrote Created to Be's Help Me, or the magazine No Greater Joy, she and her husband. She writes regarding fears of the young mother. And I put this here because we're a container intended to be used for something, and sometimes we can forget and start putting our fears out there. She says to young mothers, things that appear as tragedies are not so tragic. If as young mothers we could have eternity in our eyes, older mothers, God-fearing mothers, see more clearly. Whether it's age or spiritual maturity, I don't know, maybe both, but it is not for their lives we fear, it is for their souls. We are still stirred to pray for their safety and health, but our consuming prayer is that they overcome all the snares and diversions the evil world can offer. It's a whole different approach that we have, and they're watching us. We know that they have a destiny because God has made them. He's created them for a destiny, and they're watching us believe God for that. Nancy, sorry. I forgot that one. So we must be convinced that it's the sum of our normal days that will produce awesome results. I love that thought because sometimes I think we get confused by the chaos of every day and just think, oh no, how are my kids going to turn out? Because this was really a rough day. There was so much that happened that I said or they said or we did or didn't do. But we must accept the chaos of normal days, having faith that normal days will produce awesome results. In Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. As a mother, our job is to create an atmosphere that children can thrive. I have a friend who always encourages me, less is more. Be careful of putting too much on the children, putting on the children undue stress. Our job is to focus on a consistent routine, not a perfect schedule. Just keep striving for a certain consistent routine they can expect. It's not going to be perfect. I know one thing with my homeschooling that really helped me was to put an hour to a subject. And so that if something happened and life was chaotic, if it was 10 a.m., I knew we were starting math. I didn't have to be, where was I? I'm thinking, no, this is where we are, we start. That was, so a consistent routine helps. Oswald Chambers, a preacher in the 1800s, he says, a child's life has no dates. It is free, silent, dateless. A child's life ought to be a child's life, full of simplicity. I think this is so refreshing. I think our world does not have that plan for children. They want to fill and schedule every, and it just it steals from that imaginary or the just times of sitting with your kids in peace. When we think of normalcy, we may equate it with monotony. As a mom, we can feel our days are monotonous, the same workload as the day before. And Oswald Chambers' mom, when he grew up, he was 2 years old, and he was of a family of seven, so he was the sixth of seven. And when he was two, his father, who was also a pastor, got relocated. And this is what was written of his wife. It says, little changed for Hannah except their location. Okay, she was still going to be doing the normal. Clean, feed, change. She had four children in school each day and four younger ones. Oh, that doesn't make sense since she must have eight children, including Oswald at home. Her budget was meager and money was scarce, but none of her brood ever suspected that anything less than the abundance of the Almighty was theirs. She greeted each day with joy and each crisis with the assurance that the Lord would provide. That's such an example. I mean, she didn't have all the ease of our life either. I just think she, her clothes washing or food preparations was much, much harder. And I think it's neat to see that she was living beyond her norm, choosing to trust the Lord. In The Mission of Motherhood, Sally Clarkson writes, in that moment, the two conflicted drives of my heart stood out in stark contrast. My commitment to motherhood versus my lurking desire to have life my own way. And from that moment on, it became a little clearer about which path I needed to follow if I really wanted to reflect God's design. I needed to accept days like this, my children's neediness, the myriad mindless tasks, and even my own occasional discomfort as part of my partnering with my husband toward our mutual goal of building a godly heritage for Christ. If I didn't commit myself wholeheartedly to the demands of motherhood, I would never be able to do my best because my heart would always be somewhere else. By faith, I have already made the decision to make myself available in the routine tasks and myriad interruptions of daily life because I believe it's God's will for me to serve my family through them. Making this choice ahead of time means I will expect problems and needs to arise and be ready to deal with them in peace instead of impatience and resentment. So, I was thinking of just even the sum of our normal days, what it looks like. And so I just have a few encouragements here. Just to enjoy your children, because the Lord enjoys them. Psalm 149, verse 4 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people." So God has formed our children for his good pleasure and for his purposes. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We are only vessels for his handiwork. Be always in wonder, pondering in your heart how God wants to use your children. Isn't it fun to think, like, about your child? Like, I mean, we get to think about our children all day long, which is wonderful. And then to think that God is creating in them this purpose that's way beyond how we could even imagine or dream or think. We don't know who they're going to affect later in life. But we have this short time to invest in them, and we can be believing God for these good works that are coming for their lives. Michael Pearl says, "Hear me again. If children are to blossom under your care, they must fascinate you, captivate your imagination, and provoke you to creativity. They must be your entertainment, your favorite comedians, your hobby, your partners. They are forever your audience, and you are theirs. They should be the future in which you invest all your energy and your resources. If you're excited about your children, they'll be excited to heed your will. You must see each day as a wonderful opportunity to build into that young life." I think it's, you know, you think of Elizabeth having John in Luke 1:14-16 says, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb, and he will turn away many sons of Israel back to the Lord their God." Luke 1:14-16. I feel like we can have that same joy and gladness because we're believing God to save them at a young age and to use them mightily. I just think that's such a promise. He'll turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And then with Mary about Jesus in Luke 1:31-33, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He'll be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Just think how excited these mothers were about their children. And I think we all have that same excitement. It's, oh my goodness, when you watch every little detail that your kids do, and it's just amazing. Charles Spurgeon says, "It's not how much we have, but how much we enjoy that makes happiness." If the kids see us enjoying them, it is just so such a happy atmosphere. They know mom is watching, and, you know, they get excited about that. One more quote. I just love these quotes. They motivate me. Sally Clarkson, The Mission of Motherhood: "Serving with joy in the midst of messes and difficulty can only be done when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we are joyful and see each minute with our children as an opportunity to worship God through our service of him, our children sense our joy and feel secure and happy." So enjoy your children because they're fellow heirs with us. And I've talked some about that already, but I'm going to keep going on it. So they're created for eternity. They're created for his glory and will be worshiping beside us for eternity. And we have the noble task to prepare them for us, for this task. So we need to hold fast to the promises for their salvation. The day's coming when they'll embrace the relationship with God. And that's not without much work and effort. There's so much put into that. And we'll talk about some of that. But just through prayer and through getting the word on their heart, through training them. Sally Clarkson says, "As we wait patiently for the fruit of our faith and service in the lives of our children to be revealed, we will see God's faithfulness. In the meantime, we can know that our choice to love our children with a whole heart is the right one." Enjoy your children and love them with a smile, openly and often, even when they appear not to yet to comprehend. I just think of that little newborn that sits there. And we just smile and smile and smile and smile at that baby. And eventually they start just really smiling back. And I had a friend who would just, such an example in this. She had 9 children, and this is before I had, maybe I had 1 or 2. And she'd walk by them, and I just see this huge smile of enjoyment come on her face. And I just thought, wow, I want to do that with my kids. I want them to know that I enjoy them. The atmosphere is so important, and the mom can influence the children by having a cheerful, happy heart of her home, of her own. This last year has been kind of a harder one for me, and I really struggled with my countenance. I really struggle with believing that it mattered, but I also had some things I needed to work through. And Justin saw it, and I was, all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, I do affect my children. And so God is so good just to deal abundantly with us and just help us get back on track. So deal with it. I had to really do business with the Lord and get somebody just to even walk through some things with me. But our facial expressions really affect our children. So keeping a constant check on the facial expression and what the mind is dwelling on helps keep the mom redirecting the heart and countenance to be joyful. You know, if you find yourself on a frown, you think, what am I thinking about? Is it worry or is it, you know, double check it. Maybe we're not giving things to the Lord. But look the child into their faces and smile at them often. Let them know they're loved and important. The verse that sticks out to me a lot is Genesis 4:7. It says, if you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And I think about that for my kids. Sometimes if my kids are sinning, their countenances are down. And I have to trace it. Okay, like, so has there been something that you know, help them understand that they've probably been in sin and maybe we need to take care of that with a spank. Sin steals our joy of our countenance. There may be areas in our lives that we're sinning. So ponder it. If you're not rejoicing, is there something that you need to do business with, confess and repent and move on? I love that. If you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. Michael Pearl. Oh, let's see. I guess I didn't write. Oh, yeah, I did. When I smile at a child, I teach them something useful. I have contributed to eternity. I'm creating trophies to be enjoyed by God forever and ever and ever. He goes on to say, I'm convinced you cannot be a better parent than you are a smiler. Like a sunflower turns his face to the sun, a child turns his face to anyone that will smile at him. What's more, he will turn his heart. It's important. So enjoy your children and train them. So we train our children because they're the Father's children. 1 Samuel 1:27, for this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him, so I have also dedicated him to the Lord as long as he lives. He's dedicated to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. We're stewards of our children's lives for a short time. She knew it very well. and in our hearts, we need to give them back to the Lord early. They are the Lord's, and so we train them. Sally Clarkson in Mission of Motherhood again says, God holds us accountable for our stewardship of his blessings, and that means I'm responsible for the ways in which I choose to care for the children he's given me. We're accountable for our stewardship of his blessings. Our goal is to train a soul into godliness, not just gain compliance. We don't just want computerized answers back. Yes, ma'am. We want a heart that learns to embrace what we're embracing. They take it as their own. And that takes a real understanding of where they're at when you've been disciplining them, to understand, hey, are they at a point where they're broken and understand that they've sinned and repent of that? Or are they just kind of holding on maybe something and not totally willing to obey next time? They might do it, but just so they don't get a spank. So we have a responsibility to prepare our children's hearts to love righteousness, and we must whet their appetite to live righteously. You must cause the child to see the rewards and blessedness of righteousness. Help them see how good it is to do what's right. There's so many benefits. So children are very capable of obeying our commands. We just are helping their heart to follow. Okay. So be consistent in training them in righteousness so they can taste that sweet blessing of doing what's right. Results of a trained child: no guilt, no anxiety. They like themselves and they feel liked. Sally Clarkson: children don't accidentally become righteous leaders or emotionally healthy and productive adults. Someone needs to take responsibility for their nurture, protection, nourishment, intellectual development, manners, recreation, personal needs, spiritual development. Oh my goodness, the mother's job is big. Someone needs to commit time and energy into staying close to them as they grow, encouraging and correcting and teaching. When children know their limits and are assured that you will be consistent in enforcing them, they will be quick to learn to live in the bounds you set. Susanna Wesley says, never... Am I going too fast? Sorry, I get excited. Susanna Wesley says, never allow the child's attitude to control your expectations unless it is to cause you to demand more. If they're sitting at the counter begging for something, we don't want to respond to the, you know, cries and whines, except that we would demand more, that they're, I need you to be patient longer. This is a good one. You can never bad attitude a child into a good work mentality. It's kind of a funny thought. You know, it's kind of ironic, like being mad at them so that they'll do what's right. It's like, it doesn't work too well. We just need to train them. Just do what God wants you to do with a good attitude. Train them. Put them back in the situation. So... So, help them be successful in obedience by doing your part and being consistent. Pray in the morning. Ask the Lord, help me be consistent today. Kids are at a disadvantage in being consistently obedient to us because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. They're at a disadvantage. I put this picture here. Their heart is like this ball of rubber bands it's bound up tight. And they're at a real disadvantage to want to do what's right because it's bound up in there, this foolishness. And so every spank or every discipline time, you just think you're taking off a rubber band or two or three. And, you know, the hope is you're getting to the core at a young age so that you don't have to spank as much. So we must not grow weary of the task. Michael Pearl says, the mother that chases down every little fox can soon rest, for her vineyard will be free of foxes. So don't overlook all the little things. Stick with them. Catch the attitudes. Catch the, you know, little sly ways of getting around something. Be right with them. They know when they've sinned, and sometimes I'll guess that that's what's happened, that a sin has happened, and right away it'll be like, oh, like, and so I can take care of it. Ask God for justice, for judgment, good judgment. He'll give it. All Okay, so we want them to love righteousness because it prepares their heart for a relationship with God. The upright will behold their face, behold his face. Henry Clay Trumbull, he was a pastor also in the 1800s. He says, a loving trust of the author of the Bible is the best preparation for a wise study of the Bible. So our job as a mom is to bring God's word into their life. We need to talk of his amazing works. Say, wow, did you see what God just did for us? Remember often what he's done. Tell your children. I was praying for a parking spot. You know, we got it. Or I was praying for good deals and we got them. Bring it back to the Lord. Recognize the intimate way God meets you every day so that they can too. Psalm 90, verse 16. It says, let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. They start thinking of their heavenly father as this amazing father because you're speaking of him. Just like a wife speaking highly of her husband, they start looking to dad the same way. Okay, so I'm just going to read this funny thing. This is kind of a description of how we can develop it's kind of how we can develop a stronger child, but it's more from the mind of a child, how he's thinking. It's from Michael Pearls. So he was like, coming from a little child, so this is what they're thinking. How to train your mommies and daddies. And so it's like there's two little children talking, and one's discipling the next one. So he's saying there's no need to grow up deprived of your rights to unlimited indulgence and free expression. Kids everywhere are breaking free of the old-fashioned restraints of the family. They're all pushovers, these parents. Even before 6 months, parents don't know the difference between my needs and my wants. And if I program them properly, they're not going to question my motives. Their own guilt and sense of duty will cause them to rush to my every whimper. Now, remember, at 6 months, you must experience anger when your parents fail to comply immediately. And at 9 months, you can rejoice when they say you just have a strong will, as if it's some kind of virtue. They say you're different and can't be dealt with as other children. And when you're two, they're going to be so conditioned that they will dismiss your free expression as the terrible twos. They're not willing to face defeat, so they like to think of it as just a stage. Now, when you're three or four, you're going to have to learn to direct your demands more carefully. Disguise your dominance and express it more carefully as pity, weak, emotional hurt, brokenhearted, just sag in your body. I'm tired. I don't feel well. And then touch them. And the parents will go, oh, it's all right. I don't guess it'll hurt anything to let them have it. You'll have your way. And after all, there's nothing in life more important than getting your own way. It's the greatest source of pleasure. Win, win, any contest of the wills. Now, if you ever let your parents win just once, you've broken their wills. You've taken away their confidence. You make them feel helpless. And after that, it's easy. If you ever hear your mom say, I can't do a thing with that boy, he just has a strong will, then you know you've won. Keep it up, and you'll always be free of control. Now, your parents might go through stages. They might read a book, or they might take advice from a friend, and they might decide to renew their efforts at dominance. But remember, consistency is the key. If you ever give in just once, it renews their confidence. So if nothing else, seek symbolic victories. Don't take it too hard when you're forced to comply. After all, they are bigger than you. Your day will come, though. Eventually, you will have a body that will match your will. And then you can seek your own without anyone telling you what to do. Ooh. Yes, the mind of a child. I think we can laugh at it, but it is too real. And we've all experienced those different stages. You want to kind of just brush it under the rug or call it something or not fess up to have just not been faithful. So if we know the enemy is their flesh, that their heart is just bound up, their desires for control and dominance, our efforts must match and exceed that of the child's. So either we're going to be trained or we train them. So we must be convinced of prayer. And I just can't say this too much. I just think we are that Moses who stood in the breach, in the gap. We're that one person that throughout the day thinks of them just nonstop. I mean, I have 11 kids, and it would just be like Stephen, Andrew, Lee, Ben, Jill, Luke, Kelly, Lauren, Johnny, David, Justin, and just all through the day, just praying for different aspects of their lives or different. And then on top of that, just having my 31 days that of different things I wanted to make sure I touched on. If I didn't touch on it, you know, at least it would be touched on that one day a month. And there's been so many important things that I've, through that 31 days of biblical prayers, which is on the bit.ly, that things like that my children will rejoice in health circumstances, or that my children will not be confused in this day and age of their sexual orientation, or just that they'll love the church. There have been so many answers to prayer that I can observe because for years and years and years I've been praying through those 31 days of prayer, and I just think, oh my goodness, those are actually true to life answers. You know, they're truly rejoicing in this. And so we can be believing God. James 5:16, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Be very specific. I know I've written out some. There's a couple examples up here. But just I've written some as a mom. This is what I want to be toward my child, or as a wife, or what, just, we have it at our, it's an open slate every day, and I just keep it at the back of my journal. I have different papers of prayers, things that I'm praying for my kids, and I know we have prayer warriors out here, so, but hold fast to it. Don't stop believing that God is doing a work in your children's lives. And it's, you are going to make that huge difference. And have standards to look toward. I put a few on the bit.ly, like Rick Whitney has The Measure of a Boy. I would read through, like, oh, before like 13, these are things that we really should be believing God for, steps toward maturity. And then, oh, as a teenager, these are things that I should be believing God for in their maturity. Just be in believing God for that. Yeah, so these are the different things that I, this semester, the family prayer requests. As our kids get older, we just have a Google Doc, and every semester we put it out, like, what are your prayers this month or this semester that we can be praying more effectively for you? And so we all know we're just praying for one another. So most of those you can find on the bit.ly, except probably our family prayers. So this is just a quick highlight. Be convinced that his gentle leading, or be convinced of his gentle leading in your life. Be convinced that God works in earthen vessels, and that it's not about you, but what God wants to do in and through you. Be convinced that it's the sum of your days that will produce awesome results. I had to get this in there. Only say what you want your child to obey once. Say it once in a normal voice. Expect quick, cheerful, complete obedience. Be aware of their push for control and the strength of their flesh, the rubber band effect. Be calm, be caring, be consistent, be convinced of prayer. So, did anyone have any questions? And then I'll close us in prayer. Yes. Oh, only say what you want your child to obey. Sometimes as parents, we can start spouting out things. and realize we really can't take care of them all or remember what we told them. And so it's just being more careful of what do I want my child to obey? You know, go do that, you know. And we can say things without even expectation of following through personally. And so really thinking through, is this what I plan to follow through on? And is this what I know that they can do? So don't place them in a position or me in a position that I cannot follow through. So. Yes, yes, because there's been many times over the years, especially as I've gotten older with younger ones, my older kids will say, did you know you just told them? I was like, no, I didn't remember that. And so it's keeping track of what you told them. And sometimes I can say too many things. It's better to keep it more simple. Yes?
Can you repeat your website?
Okay, the Bitly website is bit.ly/fwmothers.
Say that again.
So I should have.
Mothers.
What? FW Mothers.
Okay. So it's Faith Walkers Mothers. So it's FW Mothers. Yeah. Yeah. So. This one, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the 31 Days of Devotions, just, it's still in editing form. So if you have ideas and thoughts, feel free. I'm excited to get some things down for the next generation to have, you know mom and dad a little more. So. Yeah.
Is there a simplification for young toddlers? Or is it, I mean, it's the same thing, but it's not like, I would imagine you would apply it the same way as you would a 13-year-old.
For discipline? For?
You know, this.
Oh, this? Yeah, I think at 3.5, you're enjoying them and just staying on top of what you've said.
Okay.
You know, following through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're dreaming with them, and yeah, if you've asked them to put your shoes away,
mm-hmm.
Come put their shoes away. You're watching what they're able to do, and at 3.5, they're able to do that.
She's able to do a lot. She's awesome.
Yes.
She
wears me out. So in light of that, if you're worn out, like keep your commandments more at a minimum,
mm-hmm.
You know, but if you know she's disobeying things you've already told her, you need to follow through.
Yes.
You don't have to re-say it, but,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes?
Getting into, like, the preteen with, like, a boy, how do you manage, like, telling them what to do? Because we've always been pretty strict in that you do something, you know, we ask you to do something, you need to do it. But now, he's always been pretty opinionated.
Yeah.
And now it's just at another level, you know? And then I understand that he's growing, you know, he's becoming a little man, and I want to respect him. And
yes.
How do you balance an opinion? Is it like, no, it's life or death, obey now, you know? Or like, how do you distinguish between what needs to be obeyed now versus allowing him to kind of talk back respectfully and giving me, like, you know what I mean, that whole...
Sure, they're becoming a man.
Very hard to distinguish.
Right. Right. It is helping them, maybe even putting it in their court sometimes, like, can you figure out how this needs to get done? And then I will check back with you. You know, where they're having to take control over that situation. I am not afraid to tell my 13-year-old to, like, if they're in disobedience, we're still taking care of this, you know. I want my kids to share their opinion, but not to override mom's opinion. And so, you know, we talk a lot about things, and sometimes like, well, yeah, actually you have a really good idea there. And sometimes I will just roll with their idea. But there's a carefulness there because they can start thinking their opinion is always right. And so then it becomes not, mom's word then becomes a suggestion. And when it's just a suggestion, that's not what we're looking for. No, mom wanted you to do that. And so I think you need to be convinced of, with your husband, like, of some things you're wanting him to do or to be obeying. I would talk those over with your husband. And if they're just merely suggestions, say, this is just a suggestion. Yeah, be very clear with whether it's a suggestion or opinion or a command.
Like the expectation, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Right.
I can get his opinion.
Yeah, and sometimes there are things that they're just getting older and are able just to go ahead and handle these certain things by themselves, make some decisions, and then say, okay, but you need it to run it by mom, and then we'll figure out if that's a good solution. So, giving them a little freedom, but not total.
What's F, of mom's domain?
Mom's domain is actually, if you've ever thought through every aspect of your life, and so, like, it's kind of, do you do the roles and goals sheet? And so you're a part of different people's lives, and it's a good practice to do, to think through everything in your life in church, like all the people I want to pray for, all the women I wanted to pray for, and then in my homeschooling, what moms I'm associated with and who I'm going to pray for, and in my I can't think right now, but just different aspects of our lives that we're, oh, like, we pray through, like, on Monday, saved and unsaved people, and Tuesdays, extended family. So I'll write out the extended family. And so it's that practice of, like, what are all the things I wanted to ever pray for? And so I did it, like, 1 year, and I had this domain written out, and it's, so it's helpful. I'll go back to it once in a while, like, oh, yeah, I want to remember these missionaries. I want to remember. And so it's more of a practice of, like, I think our lives get a little large. And so when you look at your domain, who do I really invest in? And so that was helpful for me to do, to kind of zero in on it and then put them on specific days. And then I knew my friends or my people that I really wanted to pray for got prayed for. So that was kind of a larger task to work through. It took time, but it helped me see who I was really investing in.
So do you have that, like, on a spreadsheet, or what do you do with that? That sounds so...
Yeah, I meant to...
Need it.
I'm trying to think if I brought it, because it was on a... just an 8.5 by 11, and it's really small. Everything was really small. Let's see. So these are just like all my little things. Yeah, you know what I think I ended up doing is making it 31 days of prayer instead. And so then I put everyone in on that. And that is on there as well. It's kind of like a, but it's kind of like my husband, what I wanted to pray for, the women in our church, or the singles I wanted to pray for, the people who are working with the unreached, or if I could put that domain on there too, just as an example, even though you wouldn't know who anyone was, but
I didn't see the measure of a boy in there.
It's at the bottom of the. It's at the bottom of, like, maybe biblical prayer for children, and keep going down further and further. And I'll still add some stuff for that. I didn't quite finish, so. Yes.
When do you have the time to, like, do all this stuff?
Oh.
Early. Now in this season, you can write all these. Or would you always, like, carve a date for yourself? Kind of like.
They're probably. I didn't start getting very good extended quiet times more till, I can't remember how many years now, but I've been doing quite a while, but Sunday mornings just from like 6 to 9. And I could get home in time then to go to church. But it was like desperate. You know, I want to go from 6 to 9. Wait, I usually just pop up. It's like, go, out the door. And so, the Lord would just lay certain things on my heart then, during those times. So I could get more specific and not so scattered. You know, you have kids and you just start getting scattered. It's like, pull it in. So probably just certain seasons of my life that I would do these things, and then they just stick around. Yeah.
And you do wake up early to do all those disciplines.
Yeah, I wake up, pretty early. But now I wake up early because I'm older. So anyway, that happens. What, Lord?
Yeah, like, I know about, like, how to be joyful with your kid. How do you feel like when you're in a slump of just, like, I've just been sad all day, and now I remembered I need to be joyful, but
yeah,
that just feels weird to start smiling.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even start, getting out of a slump because, I want to be able to, like, smile at my kids and
yeah.
I want to miss this time now that I remembered I need to be smiling, you know? Or
that's so good. So the question is, like, once you've had the slump, through the day maybe you've been not as joyful, and how do you all of a sudden just switch out of that? I think taking a nap might help, but I think that's helpful. I think considering pride, sin is crouching at the door, and the pride would be that I need to stay here because I was here, and the humility would be I don't have to stay here because the Lord can help me get out of this. And so confessing it openly to the kids, like, I'm really sorry that I've not been as joyful today. And mommy is really wanting to choose to rejoice. And, you know, you can pray for me. But I think just getting outside, taking a nap, just switch up a little bit, and put a smile. I think if you choose to obey that, just, I'm going to put a smile. It really helps. I like I said, this fall was a harder scenario for me, and I really had to see, okay, do I really believe what I have shared over the years? And I believe it is true. Like, if I were choose to put a smile and choose to confess, get it out there, and keep moving forward, I may not have the bounce in my feet as much, but there can still be a smile or a choice of doing what's right, and then trust the Lord for the bounce in the feet, which might come a little later. So, and music, scripture songs. Thank you. Yes, that is the biggest help. Is just playing scripture songs in the background, and I've done that over the years, and it just refocuses to faith. It pushes you to faith. Thank you so much. Yeah. So, and if you don't have scripture songs, I know Gordon Worship has, it's on SoundCloud. We have some there. So SoundCloud is a website, and on the website you type in Gordon Worship, and you would see a picture of our family. There's also, I put on there the GCL oldies. You could type in GCL oldies. That can come up. And Corin Irene, I'll put this on the Bitly, but she has a lot of scripture songs. But really, seriously, totally agree with that. If putting on scripture song in the background can totally change our belief system that day. So, all right, well, let's close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Your word does change us, transforms us inside out. But thank you that we live in a world where you gently lead us, And it's a very different world, Lord, than the world we came from. I thank you, God, for helping us raise our children, for giving us hope, for giving us courage, for giving us strength, for using our vessel, Lord, for good things. We just want to believe you for this coming year, Lord, to do what's right, to make choices, Lord, that are based on your word. In Jesus' name, amen.